Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, I'm Jesse McAnally.
And I'm Andrew DeWolf.
And I'm Liz Esten.
And welcome to Musicals with Cheese, a podcast where I try to get Andrew Liz to like musical theater.
This is what Jess thinks rock music sounds like.
Yeah. Is that not what rock music sounds?
No, I don't think Jess listens to rock music.
No. You should hear like musical theater rock music, which, you know these songs, and they'll be like, "We're not gonna take it. No, we're not gonna take it. We're not going to take it anymore." Oh, I just got the feeling of rock in me.
Yeah?
Yeah?
You have the feeling of rocking you, Jess?
Are you going to move to LA and, like, pursue your dreams?
Well.
Like in La La Land?
Yeah.
I am just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit.
That's actually true.
That is true. He was raised in South Detroit.
There is no South Detroit. There is literally no South Detroit. That song is gibberish.
Yeah, duh.
I mean, technically speaking, there is Detroit,
and
if you go south in Detroit, that's South Detroit.
You are wrong. You are all wrong. There is no South Detroit.
If you're in normal Detroit and you go south,
normal
you actually
Detroit.
Vanish into the you vanish into
what
the ether.
What point is south? Normal Detroit, Andrew.
Where is normal Detroit?
If you're in the center of Detroit and you go south, you vanish. You no longer exist. There is no South Detroit.
Yeah, people in Michigan don't leave Michigan, famously.
Andrew went to Michigan. I took him through Detroit. He said it was nicer than New York. I remember this.
It's true. Although there's way more shit on the side of the highway.
Yeah, that was your main critique of Michigan altogether.
You guys need to clean up your fucking highway. What the fuck are you doing?
You should tweet at Gretchen Whitmer to tell her to clean the damn roads instead of fixing them. Hey! You love rock music, right? And you love Broadway musicals, right? Why don't we take the chocolate and the peanut butter, squish them together, and waste 2 hours of your life? It's Rock of Ages.
We're legally not allowed to sing the title song.
Yeah,
so.
Because they don't own it, so.
So, fun fact. For the 10th anniversary of Rock of Ages, Def Leppard finally let them use the song Rock of Ages.
It took them 10 years?
Yeah, the 10th anniversary of Rock of Ages, they finally let it happen in 2019.
Just a small town girl, living in a lonely world. Oh, she took the midnight train going anywhere.
Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit, Michigan. Took the midnight train.
Rock of Ages is a musical directed by Kristen Henge on The Stage Show and directed by Adam Shankman on film, written by Chris D'Arienzo, and also written as a film by Chris D'Arienzo, Alan Loeb, and Justin Theroux, the writer of Tropic Thunder and star of several movies. Weird thing, he directed it, with music and lyrics by various artists from the 80s. Previews on Broadway began March 17, 2009, in the Brooks Atkinson Theater, officially opening on April 7, 2009. The Broadway production temporarily closed on January 9, 2011, and moved to the Helen Hayes Theater, where it resumed performances on March 24, 2011, and it closed eventually. The film, however, was scheduled to enter production in summer of 2009 for a 2011 release. It eventually commenced production in May of 2011 and was released on June 15, 2012. Andrew, you haven't read this yet, have you?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, I want to see if you can guess. So, the film had a $75 million budget. Can you guess how much it made at the box office?
$75 million budget, probably like $200 million.
It made $59 million, $20 million less than its budget.
Damn, I was hoping, I thought it was a success. My bad.
No, this film was a failure. And I was one of the people that donated their money to see this in theaters. And what a mistake that was.
Same.
You're part of that statistic. Great job.
I am.
I was a teenager and I was going on a date. What else am I going to do?
You could have seen The Dark Knight Rises for the fifth time.
He didn't. I saw that with my dad already. I wasn't going to see that again.
You went on a date with your dad?
No. No, I went on a date with some guy I'm in high school. Ooh, it didn't work out, clearly. So
sadly, his name was my dad.
You went to see Russell Brand, so.
That's why it didn't work out.
Okay.
You don't listen to this. Who cares?
The plot of Rock of Ages is a small town girl and a city boy meet on the Sunset Strip while pursuing their Hollywood dreams. Except if you're in the movie and the Hollywood looks a lot like Fort Lauderdale.
That is the plot of the movie, though. It's the Letterboxd plot.
I believe it, but man, that movie looks so much like Florida, it's ridiculous.
I can figure out what's filmed.
Let's talk about the stage show first. Yo, I don't like rock music. I don't like jukebox musicals. I don't think this was for me, bro.
I like rock music, but I don't like jukebox musicals, and I don't think that they picked very good rock songs for this show.
I mean, you know rock music. You know this stuff, so I'm very
all right, so this
is
like a couple. There's a couple songs in here that I'm like glad they picked that were like, oh, that's a fun that's
was
a
it
fun
Don't
choice.
Stop Believing?
No, but Don't Stop Believing is like a you have to put it in there. I kind of get it.
Okay, yeah, Glee was on. You had to do what Glee was doing.
Like honestly, like Come On, Feel the Noise. Putting a little Quiet Riot in there, I'm into that. All right, like that's a not a deep cut, but it's like a medium cut. You know, Any Way You Want It. That's the best Journey song. So you know it's good to put that in there.
That's a lie, because when you were younger, you told me the Someday Love Will Find You is the best Journey song.
It's definitely, I'm back and forth between those two. I think Any Way You Want It might be better now, though.
All right.
Think I've changed my mind.
Yeah,
on
I
it.
Agree.
Those two are very good, though. I'm glad that To Be With You, one of my favorite guilty pleasure songs. Mr. Big, shout out to Mr. Big.
Yeah, Mr. Big.
Love Mr. Big. We all love Mr. Big here. So To Be With You, that's a good choice. Everything else kind of sucks, though. I don't know. That's not totally fair, but like when you're picking songs like We Built This City to put into your show, you know, songs that are like famously bad, like songs that are on lists of worst songs ever made.
Is that really one of those songs, worst songs ever made?
I believe so.
Like there are songs that
the
I
the Final
think,
Countdown.
There are songs in here that I think are the worst songs ever made. I don't know if I'm in the minority or the majority of that, but that's just my personal opinion. Like Every Rose Has Its Thorn is possibly one of the worst songs I've ever heard, and I've thought it since the first time I've heard it.
Every Rose Has Its Thorn is fucking dog shit, and Poison as a band is fucking dog shit.
And
it's embarrassing that they reference the lead of Poison in the show, and it's embarrassing.
Also, Andrew is totally right about the articles thing. I looked up worst like 80s songs, and I found a Rolling Stone article of the 10 worst songs of the 1980s. Number one is We Built This City. Andrew's right.
The Final Countdown's on that list, too.
Yeah, number two. Don't Worry, Be Happy is number six or seven.
Guess what this show has a mashup of?
We Built
The Final Countdown and We Built This City.
And they also have the song that ended the classic rock staple, Horton Hears a Who, Can't Fight This Feeling, as the love song between Dennis and Lonnie.
And even as I wander, I'm keeping you in sight.
That doesn't end Can't Fight This Feeling. It's like in the middle of the movie.
No, that is the ending of Horton Hears a Who.
And I'm getting closer than I ever thought.
Oh, I thought that was the middle.
No, that is how that movie ends. I remember it so vividly because I remember my eyes rolled back in my head so much I thought I was having an exorcism.
You can't have this conversation because now I'm going to have to watch the entirety of Horton Hears a
yeah,
Who for
say,
editing.
Yeah, now I have to watch it again.
And literally, just type Can't Fight This Feeling and the word Horton. unlike The Lorax, this was not a musical. This is the only song number in this movie.
I own this movie on DVD. Like, that's not even a joke.
It was one of the first Blu-rays I ever got.
That movie looks like fucking shit.
Would you believe it is technically the best Dr. Seuss movie?
I would believe it because the rest suck. We gotta talk about Rock of Ages. Like,
do what we happens know? In Rock of Ages?
Do yeah, we do.
Okay,
this
so,
is what this podcast is about.
No, it isn't. It's about Horton Hears a Who now.
Imagine the most cliched plot you could possibly think of. Now make it more cliched.
Yeah.
That's the plot of Rock of
Basically,
Ages.
Basically, if you type into like an AI generator, make the most cliched plot of a musical featuring rock music.
It is a combination of a we need to save the rec center plot and a I moved to LA to become a superstar plot.
And a comical misunderstanding plot.
Yeah, so you take those three cliches and you mash them up and then you add in a bunch of rock music references. Like fucking We Will Rock You.
What you need to do is take your dad's iPhone, look at his top played playlist, and then somehow tie a plot to those. Am I wrong? I'm sorry. Am I the bad guy here?
And that's not what my dad. If this is based on my dad's mix, it'd be a lot of Paul Simon and it'd be a lot more boring.
My dad would just be that cover of Hello Darkness, My Old Friend, sung by Disturbed. That's a good one.
That's a good cover, though.
That's his entire like playlist of most listened to, I'm sure.
The one time I walked during the pandemic, my dad was listening to Folklore while cleaning, and I'm like, "Are you okay? Are you okay, Dad?" So,
and he's like, "No,
no, I'm stuck in the house."
So I used to have a Broadway cast album of Rent, and my dad just took that and would listen to that periodically while driving his truck around. All right, back to Rock of Ages, I guess.
We have to talk about Rock of Ages.
There's main character guy. There's main character
Drew.
Girl.
Main character is Drew.
Sherry is the yeah. girl.
Drew and Sherry Christian, which is her actual name.
Yeah. And Sherry, her name is Sherry Christian so that they could sing both Sister Christian and Oh Sherry.
Sherry.
It's like in Across the Universe, they had a guy named Jude, so they could sing "Hey Jude" at him at the end.
Yes, jukebox musicals are a cancer.
They are.
Yes, I do have to say this is going to be the first of a couple bad people to talk about in the connection with this story. Constantine Maroulis, who originated the role of Drew and would go on to play Jekyll and Hyde in the tour, and I saw him in 2015. Domestic violence his partner after hearing that after she found out he was having an affair with a mother at their daughter's school, he grabbed her by the hair and threw her violently to the floor. Bad guy, don't like him.
Oh, so,
what an uplifting story. Thank you for that, Jess.
Thank you.
While I think he did a good job in the show, do not endorse bad man. All right, let's go.
Also, the charges were dropped by the vice, so he didn't get in trouble.
Didn't mean it didn't happen.
Yeah, it happened, but the charges were dropped by the court. But it probably did happen. So
it's like the reverse of the Jonathan Majors thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it probably happened. Let's charge him anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry to derail that. Had to bring it up or else people would call. Did you know the Constantine Maroulis?
It's going to happen a couple times, y'all.
Yeah, that's the first of a couple.
Yeah.
Sherry moves to L.A. because she wants to get famous.
As an actress.
As an actress, Drew works at the Bourbon Room, which is a famous music joint where
they
play rock
music. It's like the Smash Club from Full House.
Yeah. Drew meets Sherry and invites her to also work at the Bourbon Room.
And live with him.
Yes. There's a big problem, though, because the mayor is going to try to clean up the city. And by clean up the city, we mean get rid of rock music, because, of course, it's a rock jukebox musical. The plot has to be about how we're going to get rid of rock music.
Take down the man.
Fuck the man.
It's embarrassing.
best way to put it, honestly.
It's not as bad as when they did it in We Will Rock You. I still have nightmares about that.
Oh, yeah.
We Will Rock
that
You
came up
feels
in my
like
research.
Such a trauma dream for me. Like, anything you tell me about We Will Rock You, I will believe that it happened.
Should I watch We Will Rock You?
No, no, okay. No,
no.
Not even as a joke.
Never.
Don't even watch that.
Okay.
Okay, so like anything bad we say about Rock of Ages, like it Rock of Ages is like a
Citizen
masterpiece.
Okay, okay,
to,
so okay, so
we
it's,
Will Rock
it's
You.
Way worse.
Okay. Both this the is, movie it, and the stage show are incredible compared to We Will Rock You.
God, I've got
we
that
will
movie
rock
is,
you
the
is
most mid thing ever.
Rock of Ages is if that and We Will Rock You were the only two things to exist, this would be a perfect piece of art.
Okay. Okay. That tells me everything.
Yeah.
Unless patrons want to torture me somehow, but you
nope,
know, that's a
nope,
that's
nope. I will not join you down that road. You're going down a road I cannot follow.
Okay.
If patron requests you to watch it, you're on your own.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm on my own. Then I'll just sit, sit on a mic alone.
I'm never watching that again. I refuse.
I feel like eventually we will have to do a tier list of our entire run. That is easily the worst thing, though, right?
I'm trying to think of anything that's even remotely close. It's
the
so
apple?
Bad. I hate.
No, the apple's fun.
Oh yeah,
the apple's
yeah.
funny. The apple's funny.
I listen
we
to a speed
you
song on YouTube sometimes for fun.
And We Will Rock You is 3 hours long.
What?
That is
what's crazy is like Jess hates Queen, so it makes sense, but I like Queen and I hate it.
That's really saying something. Oh my god. I've learned. I'm never watching this.
Yeah, do not ask this of yourself. But
I won't.
Fucking Joseph Evans Green threw that at us at our worst time
for
us emotionally, and I just remember being angry.
Oh, no. All right, Rock of Ages.
Okay, where were we?
The
mayor's
trying
get rid of
to
rock
tear
and roll.
Down rock music.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. So they have to save rock music. Like, a bunch of stuff happens. Cherry becomes a stripper. Because she
well,
doesn't.
Well, no, you forgot to bring up Stacey Jacks.
Oh right, Stacey Jacks is the lead
Halen,
singer
yeah.
of. He's the lead singer or guitar. He's the singer,
he's
right?
The
he's
singer.
A singer.
Yeah, not the guitarist.
The lead
yeah.
statutory rapist of a famous band.
He's the lead guy for a band called Arsenics or something
Arsenal.
Like that.
Arsenal.
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 That makes sense.
A worse
that makes
name.
More sense.
Arsenic would be a cool band name.
Arsenic would be a cool band name.
Yeah.
But they would play like thrash metal and
yeah.
these guys, yeah.
They play like fucking Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Yeah. So yeah, he exists. He wants to go solo. He gets stuck into a boy band and it's sad.
and okay, the one thing I actually kind of appreciate about Rock of Ages, as far as the narrative goes, they don't become famous at the end.
No, they
that
don't.
That is very refreshing, where it's just kind of like, yeah, they didn't. They just kind of figured out like that they weren't made for this and they don't deal with this. Also, comedic guy dies and Stacey Jacks goes to prison for statutory rape.
No, he doesn't go to prison.
He
I
goes on the
up.
Run.
He goes on the run. He's currently in Uruguay. Yeah, he's in Uruguay to avoid rape charges.
Classy ending to a musical, but also... I appreciate, okay, the general plot of the musical is not anything to sneeze at. I do appreciate the presentation of it. I appreciate how it doesn't take itself very seriously. I appreciate how it doesn't, the fourth wall is just a suggestion. I actually do appreciate that a good amount. I like, the third act is resolved by a character saying, you're in a musical, the book writer says this has to happen, so you better go do it. And you know what? That's kind of cool. I like that. Because it knows
you're
just here for the rock songs.
I think the presentation, the staging of like, not the staging, but like the costumes and the set and everything, like all of that is what makes this good. And I think this would be fun to watch live. Like this would just be a fun experience to have some fucking beers and sing along to the songs that you know and everyone in the crowd knows. It's kind of. Yeah, you bring your dad, and he's like, he loves it.
And the stripper scenes are literally just there for your dad. Like, they are graphic, goofy stripper scenes where the actors are very much clad, scandally clad and all that, in a way that's not like, you know, Pretty Woman on Broadway.
It's a dad musical, which there's not very many of. It's this and We Will Rock You. And I mean, so it's a pretty bad genre, but we've got this one at least.
Dad shows.
We need more dad shows. Can we get more? Can we get more dad shows?
Well, we got sad dad shows, like Fun Home.
No. We don't need shows for your dad. Dads. Like, we need shows for your dad.
Yeah, shows written for your dad.
Well, is there any World War II musicals?
It's your Civil War musical.
Pacific Overtures.
Would you consider Book of? That's not World War II.
I saw Book of Mormon with my dad. Actually,
is that the Korean War? I don't even remember.
No, it's so much before any of that. It's about westernization, not even a war.
Yeah, dads hate that.
Oh, no, I was thinking of the other one, the Vietnam one.
Oh, you're thinking of Miss Saigon.
Miss Saigon.
I don't think dads would like Miss Saigon.
Yes. Dads, no one would be more bored than dads at Miss Saigon.
My what about dad when the helicopter did enjoy Book of Mormon, though, so it could qualify.
Yeah, Book of Mormon. Maybe Sweeney Todd. But
no.
A Bronx Tale, that is one.
No, dads wouldn't like that.
You don't think they'd like A Bronx Tale?
Maybe like Jersey Boys.
Jersey Boys, you got it. Nail on
the
head.
That's a dad show. It's got Frankie Valli. They love that shit.
I can't give you anything but love, baby. That's the only thing I've plenty of, baby.
Yeah, we got to talk about the movie. So the film came out in 2012. I saw it in theaters. It was possibly the worst thing I ever saw. It was so bad that at the time I was doing musical theater content on YouTube and I could have very easily shat out a review, but thought, nah, better not. Don't want to think about that anymore.
That's really saying something.
I will say they upgraded the soundtrack a bit.
Wow, so they trimmed the shit out of it too.
There's some better songs in here. So like
what?
Paradise City is a better choice than
but it's
some
barely
of the others.
In there.
It's at the top.
Rock You Like a Hurricane is a great song. You know, so there's a couple like upgraded choices here. Downgrade though, they did remove Mr. Big. Feels bad. Not happy
but
about it.
But they added Paul Giamatti, who honestly, his performance of that movie, wonderful. 10 out of 10. He never phones it in. Truly horrendous cast. Let's talk about it. Russell Brand.
Oh boy.
Rapist. Oh, alleged rapist. We got
alleged rapist. Alleged.
One.
He has been proved in court.
Not alleged anti-vax podcaster though.
Yeah,
he is an anti-vaxer. Yes.
Anti-vaxer conspiracy theorist podcaster. So. Regardless of the allegations, he's a piece of shit.
And just not that funny a comedian. I don't know why he hit so hard in the early 2010s.
I'll get into it when we get to the critical quarter, but there's a whole thing I saw about Russell Brand when I was looking up reviews.
Let's talk about Julianne Hough. They changed her character from wanting to be an actress to wanting to be a dancer. Not a bad person.
Not a singer.
A singer, not an actress, but she was a dancer in real life. So I'm just like, I'm very confused by her entire plot line. Then, of course, Alec Baldwin, overall bad person to begin with, but also the current thing going on with him complicates a lot of everything he does.
Also, I guess who he shares most of his scenes with.
Russell Brand.
The alleged rapist.
Also, Alec Baldwin is just a terrible choice for this fucking movie.
He's so bad in this. Like, I cannot.
Well, let's talk about that. So, Alec Baldwin publicly said that this film is a horrendous piece of shit and he regrets being involved in it.
That's really saying something. His filmography is awful.
Oh my god, that's incredible.
Weeks before shooting, he begged New Line to release him for his contract and said that he only signed up for the project in the first place because he wanted to work with Tom Cruise, which is a benefit because he and Tom Cruise would go on to work together in the Mission Impossible movies after this. But my god, he is so checked out in this movie. Like, so not there.
He doesn't want to be there at all.
He wants to leave and get his bag and get the fuck out.
Where the fuck is
Jack Black, by the way?
Yeah, where was he in this?
What
is
the
he
fuck?
In this?
No, where? No, he should have been in this. He isn't, but
yeah,
he
like,
should
where
have
is
been.
He?
Well, speaking of people that are kind of iffy as far as kindness, did you see who one of the producers was?
Oh, who?
Bully Maguire himself, Tobey Maguire.
Wait, what did Tobey Maguire do?
He was one of the producers. I just saw him listed as one of the producers of this film.
I'm going to put some dirt in your eye.
That's just what they call him when he's Venom in Spider-Man 3, Bully Maguire.
Oh, I did not know that. I thought he did something bad, and I didn't know about it.
I have heard he's incredibly difficult to work with.
He's not a fun guy to mess with. And yeah, so this, and Constantine Maroulis, the actor who played Drew on stage and beat his wife, is also in this movie again.
Yeah, but Bryan Cranston.
Bryan Cranston, he's great. Catherine Zeta-Jones, I love seeing her in things. Almost wish she had a real part to play in this movie.
I swear to God, she leaves the movie for half an hour and then suddenly comes back. And I'm like, wait, where the fuck did she go?
Yeah, she
stopped existing.
It's
not even a joke. I jump scared myself.
And Tom Cruise, who is also a complicated figure in the movie industry. I actually don't mind Tom Cruise's performance in this movie, but he is not playing the same character from the musical at all.
No, but...
And I did say before we recorded, his singing voice is not bad. Like, I will say most of the singing voices in this are pretty good, except Alec Baldwin, who is not even remotely trying. But Tom Cruise, I swear to God, he sounds like Weird Al's singing voice. He sounds like Weird Al singing any parody song. Like, it just sounds so tongue-in-cheek. And he's hitting every note, and it's obviously not that manufactured. It's not like Andrew Garfield in Tick, Tick, Boom. Love is like a bomb, baby, come and get it on. Living like a lover with the radar phone. Looking like a track, like a video van. Demolition woman, can I be your man? It's just weird. It's just a weird, not Rocky sound. Like, it just sounds like he's singing a parody of Dead or Alive, but about, you know, like, bread or beehive, you know? Because Weird Al does food parodies.
Yeah.
Movie's bad, but Tom Cruise sings into a lady's butthole, so 10 out of 10.
For, not bad. You know.
The original writer of the Rock of Ages stage musical did not like this movie. Said he did not watch it, but he saw the trailer, and as soon as he saw the monkey, he said, it's obvious they were not doing anything with that was even close to my musical. I do own the rights, and if I am going to try to make a new one, but if I did, I'd want it funded independently, which would also probably be a bad idea. Just do a pro shot. Just independently fund a pro shot at that point.
Seriously.
Who gives a shit about movies? Speaking of who gives a shit about movies... Let's move on to previews.
It's time for previews. It's time for previews.
So we got two reviews here that Liz picked out. Andrew, why don't you read the first one?
Sure. We have a review from Entertainment Weekly, Thorn Gear, or Gier. I'm not entirely sure how this would be pronounced. All right, so. This is from April 7th, 2009. I assume this is for the
show? For the stage show, yes.
Okay. For Gen Xers on a nostalgia trip, this off-Broadway transfer does provide its Memorex-induced pleasures, often embedded Beowulf Borat's clever set and prop design. At one point, a character gives birth to a Cabbage Patch Kid. Is Rock of Ages nothing but a good time? Not quite. Sorry, Poison fans, but it's frequently more fun than it has any right to be. I don't know what the fuck was going on in that review, but the ending, I think, makes it clear what they thought.
It's fun, but not good.
Yeah.
That is kind of my thought. Like, I like making fun of it because I'm a fan of, like, the rock music, and I think it's silly that they picked a lot of, like, not good songs for this. And it's a very cliche plot and everything, but honestly, if I was at the show, I'd probably have a good time.
Yeah.
Nothing but a good time?
No, not nothing but a good time, but it seems like a show where it's like, it's fine if you laugh at the show, like they don't care, and you're just there to like sing along, you know, it's that type of show.
Yeah.
And I feel like that type of vibe, like it's hard to go wrong.
It's all the same, only the names will change. Now, there's a review of the movie picked out by Liz, written June 10th, 2012, by David Rooney. The outrageously egomaniacal characterization should be a hoot, but in truth, Cruise's quasi-mythical sozzled intensity gets wearsome. There is just too much of him. Instead of one great showcase number, Bon Jovi's Wanted, Dead or Alive, He gets a string of them. And in the Glee era of autotune, even his vocal prowess barely registers as a novelty. A role that should have been a tasty extended cameo instead has been built up to a crowd headliners. And frankly, that can't withstand the competition. Fair.
Yeah. Having just seen the movie, like, it's fine. I lost 2 hours of my life. No, I'm saying I lost 2 hours of my life and it was pretty boring. But I wasn't mad at the end of the credits. I was just like, whatever. I listened to a bunch of mid-rock music done by celebrities. Whatever. I can do something else. Like, I wasn't mad.
I don't know if I agree just because I had to listen to Russell Brand sing, which honestly was painful.
I kind of blanked out when he started singing. I was just like, well.
Is he that bad a singer? I literally have no memory of
his
singing.
He doesn't really sing. He just kind of talks musically. From what I can tell.
I didn't like it. I did not like him. I thought he was quite bad.
Also, him and Alec Baldwin like make out at some point, and it's very hard to watch. Very hard.
It that's not all that was very hard.
No one was hard on that set.
Adam Shankman might have been.
Nah, he's gay, but he's not that horny.
Speaking like Adam Shankman apparently was the one that requested all the changes, not like the studio meddling. He's like, I just didn't like the original show, so I wanted to make it like my version.
What the hell, Adam Shankman?
Why are you adapting it then?
This is why he only directs RuPaul's Drag Race now, I swear to God. Like, he just directs the musical episodes.
He did the same thing for A Walk to Remember, where A Walk to Remember is very much like a very straightforward Nicholas Sparks movie that took place in the 1950s. And he's like, nah, modern day, I'm going to make it wild as shit, guys. I mean, you're not going to see any of the twists coming. All right, let's go on to previews. Letterboxd game. Liz, you picked out some reviews. What we got? Oh, and just for you guys at home, in the case this is your first episode, this is a game where Liz picked out some Letterboxd reviews that really exist, and they are either one star or five stars, and we have to guess which they are based on only review alone. All right. I went first last time, so Andrew goes first.
All right, Andrew.
Yeah?
Someone cooked here. It's a Breaking Bad. It was a Breaking Bad reference, by the by. This is just a YouTube clip to that clip, and I just transcribed it.
Yeah, it's because they have the
It's Bryan Cranston.
Yep. I want to say one star. I feel like Breaking Bad fans aren't gonna like this. So
that is right. Oh yeah, Bryan Cranston gets cucked most of the movie.
Does the cucking.
No, he gets cucked in the office during that one scene.
Oh.
Yeah, he gets tied up and whipped.
I mean, Walter White is a cuck. Like, we know this.
She fucked Ted. Spoilers.
She fucked Ted?
Have you not watched Breaking Bad?
I've only seen, like, the first three seasons.
Skyler fucked Ted.
What?
Yeah, it's in the episode IFT.
That stands for I fucked Ted.
Is this serious?
Yeah, this is serious. She fucked Ted.
So now you guys tell me shit, and it's, like, unbelievable, so I just assume you're joking.
Hell yeah. Wait till you find out how fucking Hank finds out he's Walter White on the shitter.
Oh, God. I'll get back to that eventually.
Wally West? Willy Wonka?
Wendy Williams?
Wendy Williams?
Andrew sent me what was it, 6 minute long video of just Hank guessing?
9 minutes.
Of Hank guessing alternates for WW.
My favorite part of that is eventually he just like forgets that it's supposed to be WW and he's just doing normal names, and then he starts doing MM. Like, he's like, oh, maybe it was upside down. Like,
10 out of 10 to whoever that creator
Mickey Mouse
was.
10 out of 10. Mickey Mouse. All right, Jess.
Yes.
As we plunge further into late stage capitalism, it becomes impossible to believe in a god.
That's a one.
Correct.
This is true.
I agree with it too much for it to be a five.
Yeah, I don't. Someone got existential. All right. Andrew.
That was a negative review of reality.
Yeah.
And reality is represented by
Rock of Ages. Page inexplicably.
What if someone like put like the recipe for meth on the Letterboxd page of Rock of Ages?
Someone cooked here.
Here's
the recipe.
No one would ever find it. Like, no one's checking the Rock of Ages page.
No, only I did.
Like, what if we found, like, some, like, you know, longitude, latitude coordinates to something horrific? We're like, well, someone's got to find this.
We just like accidentally cop into an ARG on the letterbox page for Rock of Ages.
We found Jimmy Hoffa's
genius,
body.
Actually, that's actually genius. Like doing like an ARG, but like just posting on really obscure pages that no one would ever like ever in their right mind actually visit.
Like some like really mid Hallmark movie, you start posting an ARG in all the reviews.
Yeah, there's just
because
like,
no one's gonna look.
Just like a really dark ARG that's like on this mid Hallmark movies reviews and the Wikipedia page for it.
Like Santa's
and, like,
My Boyfriend 5. That's all the Hallmark movies.
When I was 15 years old, I watched a man murder his wife in his front room. I did nothing to stop it. 5 years later, he got married again. Like all in the fucking reviews for
5 stars.
You know, Cats and Dogs.
Cats and Dogs 2.
The
people are visiting Cats and Dogs. That's too much nostalgia.
Or, what's
that
gerbil movie that Sam Rockwell was in? Oh, G-Force.
G-Force.
Bolt? Yeah. Bolt. Yeah. Would be another good one. Anyway, Andrew.
Yes.
Favorite movie when I was 6.
Fucking 5 stars.
Absolutely.
6-year-old me had great taste.
My favorite movie when I was 6.
Alec Baldwin.
My favorite movie when I was 6 was that Barney movie about the magical egg.
That movie fucks.
That movie slaps.
That's a damn good movie.
I actually have seriously considered covering that on this podcast. George Hearn, of the original Sweeney Todds, is the grandfather.
Wait, can
in
we
that
cover
movie.
Elmo in Grouchland?
You know what? I think we should do like an Olive style thing where we do half Elmo in Grouchland, half Barney's Big
that was
Adventure.
My other favorite
both, like,
movie as a child.
Because they're both like 60 minutes.
True story. I had a VHS of Elmo and Grouchland. I'd wear the shit out of it in my basement. And my parents would be like, where is she? It's like she's watching Elmo and Grouchland in the basement.
So you got Mandy Patinkin and Elmo and Grouchland. You got George Hearn and Barney. Oh. Got a Broadway cocktail there. Either way.
Anyway, Jess, it's your turn. Well, we did it again.
That's a 5.
Yep. All right, Andrew. Tom Cruise, cowboy hat, back tattoo, don't stop believing.
That
5 stars.
Sums up the movie.
Yeah, that's the plot. That is correct. Jess.
Yeah.
I get stage fright directly after singing in the middle of a record store is crazy.
Because the movie does such a shit job setting up whether things are diegetic or non-diegetic. That's a 1.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, this is what the guy since the entire movie saying he has stage fright and it gets cured through, like, anger. It's weird.
It sounds like a plot to a Camp Rock sequel.
True.
Camp Rock!
How can you see their breath in that movie?
Despite it being 900 degrees below freezing?
They got to get rid of in post. That's the one with the budget one. All right. Andrew. Tom Cruise, innocent.
If there's anything that that man is not.
Yeah.
5 stars.
That is a 1. Jess.
Yeah.
Back at it again at the Bourbon Room.
Okay, is that a thing?
I think it's a reference to the Krispy Kreme vine.
Okay, it's 5, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a 5.
I'm killing it today.
Andrew, Bryan Cranston white underwear cinematic universe.
Oh, shit,
because
in Breaking Bad,
he does wear white underwear in this.
And
does
in Malcolm
wear
in the Middle.
Godzilla? I feel like there's a scene in Godzilla where he does it too.
But it was Godzilla minus 1 and he was not in the script.
Fuck. 5 stars. 5 stars for the
correct
cinematic universe.
And I think that's it. Who won?
You tied. And there's also three more.
All right, tiebreaker. We gotta wrap this one up.
All right. I finally found my people. Jazz.
1.
Jess wins.
I'm better than you, Andrew. I'm God. Bow before me, bitch.
You tied on the last one.
Jess, you're a piece of shit, okay? And you owe me money.
That's
true.
No, the bet was on the last.
Yeah, you owe me $1,000. You still owe me.
No. I owe you an IOU for $1,000. Speaking of getting cucked, let's go into our mid-show.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary, and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Hey guys, sorry to interrupt you in the middle of the show, but we've got a show at you. We got a Patreon. Andrew, tell them about Patreon and who's supporting us.
Oh man, Patreon's where you go if you want to get a little bit extra content and support us financially so we can keep the show running. We have a second podcast up there with Jess and Liz. We have commentary tracks with Jess and I, and also Liz sometimes, depending. Although our Angels in the Outfield commentary, beautiful.
Funny.
Absolutely perfect. Flawless. Funny. Great. Hilarious. You can get a taste of it on YouTube, I think. Also, subscribe to our YouTube.
Hopefully, there'll be some videos coming out soon.
Yeah.
Our current patrons are Melissa Goldman, Danielle Renix, Justice Stampede, Ewan Cassidy, Monica Thoreau, Brent Black, with Daniel Stacey Coombe, Joseph Evans Green, Mary Lou Choquette, John Vanals, Russ Walker, Musical Hell, Emily Gracie, Kyle Summers, Janae C., Scoot in the Tech Car Dreamcoat, Nothing is Certain Except Beth and Taxes, Thesbian, Mitchell Young, Chai Teacup, Chris Marcote, Kiji Marie Anastasio, Trevi Joseph, RJ Norica, Julia McLannan, Bjorn Hermans, Yoriana Frazier, Sammy the Adequate Amount Jacobson, Kaylee Blazier, Villainous Miss, Sophina Ali, The Omega Geek, Paige Pearson, Maddie Wargle, Eliza Erdman, Anna Loskatova, Sarah Den Blaker, Evan Ball, Zachary Torres, Rora Morasso, Mara Forloin, Lisa L., Possessed Washing Machine, Nick Roten, Puffy Boy, Sydney Hicks, Anna Bell, Billy Clifton, Gold-Plated Kikimora, Julia Balder's Daughter, Hut Mutt Butt, Emma, Sibella, Stang, and Grace.
They give us a little financial support that helps us keep the lights on here at Musicals with Cheese. If you would like to join them and support us and get tons of fun perks that Andrew brought up earlier, plus a lot of other things, and discounts on our merch, which we don't promote enough, but you do get discounts, and our Discord, which is cool and very active. Come join us over at Patreon.
You can make suggestions on the Discord, and we will probably do them.
Yeah. Honestly, the best way to get your ideas onto the podcast is just be in the Discord.
Yeah.
Because I ask very frequently, hey, what do we should we review this week? Because I am not as prepared as I used to be. But how about we get back to the show? I figured I'd be really bored if we just talked about these songs. So, what I want to do here, Andrew and Liz.
Yep.
I'm also
at a breakneck speed. Tier list of all the songs in the Rock of Ages. Musical.
Oh my god.
Oh my dude, there's so many songs.
Movie and
the show?
No, just the show.
The show version specifically, or the song that they chose, or the show version specifically?
The song that they chose.
Oh, the song itself.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Would it be easier if we did the movie, or because basically they're all dad rock. We all know what they are in relative to themselves.
I prefer the show. I would prefer the show.
All right, Andrew, Come On Feel the Noise. Where's that ranking? A, B, C, D.
Come On Feel the Noise is definitely an A tier for me. I'm a Quiet Riot fan. Mm-hmm. I think that they're very fun. I enjoy Quiet Riot, and Come On Feel the Noise, while it is their most famous song, it's not necessarily their best song, but it's still fun. It is also a cover. People don't know that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Just like Paradise.
Just like Paradise. I don't even think I really. I'd have to listen to this one, so I'm gonna
That's
just
fine.
Buy
We're
default.
Skipping it.
I'm gonna by default stick it in the C tier just because I don't know it.
Nothing but a good time.
Nothing but a good time. This is probably a B tier for me. It's okay.
Sister Christian.
Sister Christian, while it is very dumb and very cheesy, is actually an A tier. I actually like the song.
We built this city.
We built this city is, ironically, even though it is one of the worst songs ever written, a B tier, I think it's fine.
I wanna rock!
Rock!
I wanna rock is a solidly B tier. It's okay. No, wait.
We're not
C tier.
Oh.
We're moving I Wanna Rock to C tier. We're not gonna take it as B tier.
More Than Words, To Be With You, and Heaven.
More Than Words is C tier. To Be With You, A tier. Heaven, B tier.
Okay. I've been waiting for a girl like you.
Waiting for a girl like you is B tier.
Really? Okay, I thought that'd be higher. I don't know why.
Not
it's been on Glee too much.
That's fair. Dead or Alive, you know, the Deadliest Catch theme song.
Great song.
Yeah, this is this Bon Jovi song. It is really good, A tier.
I want to know what love is.
Honestly, I used to like this song, but over the years, it's really just gotten lame for me. That's going in C.
Heart in My Heart, Shadows of the Night.
Heart in My Heart is B. Shadows of the Night is A.
Ooh. Ooh. All right. And here I go again.
That's a wrong one.
Oh, wrong
that,
one?
That was okay.
Here
go.
I go
this was
again
the,
on my own.
This was oh. Whitesnake. Yeah, this is Whitesnake.
God forbid these songs have the same titles.
There's a lot
this
of
this is
those.
A C tier. That's a C tier.
All right. The Final Countdown.
Okay, the Final Countdown is A tier. I'm sorry. It's super cheesy. It's terrible. I love it.
It's so
Europe
bad.
Europe is really fun. Everyone should listen to Europe's earlier albums, the first two albums they released, where they do proper heavy metal. Very good.
Did we do Any Way You Want It yet?
No, we didn't.
No, Any Way You Want It's A tier. I already gave you my opinion on that.
Yes. High Enough.
I don't remember this one.
Me neither. It must not have been that important. So C tier, just by default?
Just by
There's
default.
There's also a D tier.
Oh, there is. I haven't used it yet because honestly, all these songs are at least fine. I don't think any of these are like bad.
Valid.
At least not so far.
We're going to get to some bad ones. Don't worry.
All right. I'm ready when you guys are.
Hate Myself for Loving You.
I hate myself for loving you. That's a C tier.
Heat of the Moment.
A tier. Heat of the Moment's fun. I like that song.
Hit Me with Your Best Shot.
Da-da-da-da.
Can I offer my judgment to why I hate this song? I had an aunt that would sing this all the time, but she would change the lyrics to Hit Me With Your Wet Twat, and that has suddenly made me very disgusted by this song for always and ever. So I'm gonna offer
We'll take Jess's opinion, mix it with mine. It's going into D. It's the D tier.
This is Hit Me With Your Best Shot.
I was gonna say it was B or C because honestly I think the guitar line's really lame, but with your input we're putting it in D tier. Yeah.
Thank you. Then the Horton Hears a Who song, Can't Fight This Feeling Anymore.
Fucking C tier. Like, come on. This song's lame.
If this is above D, I'm going to be mad. Every
rose
has
its thorn is 100% D tier. Poison is a garbage band. That song sucks ass.
Keep On Loving You.
I feel like I remember this, but I don't remember it well enough. Yeah, it's a C.
C. Oh, Sherry.
Oh, Sherry is A tier. I think this is actually a good song.
Mm-hmm. How about The Search Is Over?
Oh, Sherry. Na, na, na. Jeez, we're really getting into something I just don't remember. How does The Search Is Over go? We're not looking him up. Search Is Over goes in C.
He's got to go by your judgment. Then Renegade.
Renegade is... this is that Styx song, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll put it in B.
Then finally, Don't Stop Believing, Journey.
D.
It's hard to, it can't go in D. I'm sorry. It's B tier. Don't Stop Believing is like
fine.
A fine. It's like the four chord song. You know what I'm saying?
It's the pinnacle four chord song.
Well, other than Pocket Bell's Canon, but.
Yeah.
All right. So your ranking per Liz's notes. Are you ready, Andrew?
You'll see why this took me so long to type now.
There's so fucking much here.
A, Feel the Noise. B, Christian. C,
Sister Christian.
I'm sorry. Feel the Noise, Sister Christian. Be With You, Dead or Alive, Shadow of the Night, Final Countdown, Any Way You Want, Heat of the Moment, Oh Sherry. Then, in B, we got Nothing But a Good Time, Built This City, Not Gonna Take It, Heaven, Girl Like You, Heart of My Heart, Renegade, Don't Stop Believing. In C, we've got Paradise City, Wanna Rock, More Than Words, Wanna Know What Love Is, Here I Go Again, High Enough, Hate Myself for Loving You, I Can't Fight This Feeling Anymore, Keep On Loving You, Search Is Over, and then Hit Me With Your What Twat, and Every Rose Has Its Thorn in D.
I want to screenshot this and frame it.
That is actually very impressive, considering what we asked you to do, Liz. Fantastic work.
Thank you.
All right, should we do the movie too?
Yeah, let's do the movie now.
No. I think it's time for everyone to give their overall thoughts on Rock of Ages and their cheese ratings. Andrew, why don't you start?
Rock of Ages is not great. It's so jukebox musicals for me are generally not good. Like, it's, you have to do something special for it to be like a good show. And Rock of Ages does not bring it. It does a lot of the same sort of stuff that I don't like in these type of rock shows, where everything needs to be about rock and like the plot needs to be directly related to like someone's trying to take away rock. And like, I just, it's so lame. Like, can we not just do like a rock opera that's like a proper rock opera? Like fucking, what is it? Is it Pinball Wizard?
Tommy?
No,
Tommy. Yeah, like Tommy is like, we need more like that. Like, that's good. But this is lame. It's not like terrible. Like, there's some good songs in here. There's some lame songs in here. There's some choices that I wish they didn't make. But, you know, I'm sure it's fun to sit and watch, and your dad will love it. I'm gonna give it a Cheese Whiz, because it's that kind of like cheap, like slop that's sort of like somewhat tasty but not really.
Like, so it's a guilty pleasure. Like, Cheese Whiz is something you eat when you're alone in your house and you're feeling shitty.
Yeah, like it's hard to hate this show.
Yeah,
because it's just so like, it's just there, you know.
It is much easier
also
to
hard
hate
to like it. It's much easier to hate the movie because there's so many bad people in it.
Yeah. And the execution is just poor. Like, there's love put into the stage show for whatever that's worth.
The stage show, you can tell everyone's having a good time. And really, that's that matters. Whereas when you watch the movie and Alec Baldwin is there and it's just, you're not having fun. No one's having fun with Alec Baldwin. Or Russell Brand existing in the same room as me is like a personal nightmare. So like, I'm not having a good time if he's on screen, you know?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, spending time with Russell Brand or Alec Baldwin sounds like nightmare blunt rotation. Alec Baldwin, Tom Cruise, and Russell
Brand.
The entire cast of Rock of Ages, the nightmare.
Oh my gosh. Is there anyone I would actually enjoy spending time
Paul
with?
Giamatti.
Yes,
yeah.
He would be interesting.
I would
he would have
to
stories.
Paul Giamatti. That'd be fun.
If there was a Rock of Ages movie party, it would be me and Paul Giamatti sitting in the corner alone. Well, actually, fucking.
All right, Andrew,
what's his name?
You might
be there too from Breaking Bad.
Brian Cranston. Yeah,
Andrew, you be you. I'll be Paul Giamatti, and we're at the Rock of Ages cast party. Put some like dinner music underneath this. All right.
It's like, so, why'd you do this?
Money. What do
yeah,
you
I
think?
Get, I get that. I understand that.
You know, I never half-ass anything, but you know what? I knew it wasn't going to be good, but I knew at the very least the critics wouldn't bring me up. They would
bring me up
as a bright point.
Paul, can I ask you a question?
Yes, young lady.
Can I ask you a big fat liar?
Oh, everyone always brings up big fat liar. I don't understand.
What was it like to be blue and orange for like way too long on set?
You know, in the script, it's only like 5 pages, but I didn't realize that 5 pages would be like 5 weeks of shooting that I'm blue. I hear a couple people are extras or ensemble members in Wicked in this cast, and they bring up that the Elphaba is green forever. And I was like, I had blue in my gooch for at least 5 months after I was stopped being blue. And you know.
How does it feel to be a serious actor and everyone brings up the one time that you were fucking blue for a children's movie that no one cares about?
Yeah, you were nominated for an Oscar recently and you nearly won.
I believe all my work is equally important, from The Big Fat Liars to The Holdovers. Now, that being said, there are some that are nearer and dearer to my heart, but that does not mean
like
that
Rock
it,
of
it
Ages,
can't.
Right? Yeah.
Rock of Ages, I got to work with Tom Cruise and I never got to do that before.
What about the monkey? Was he nice to work with?
I took a lot of inspiration from that monkey. Remember when I was a monkey in Planet of the Apes with Tim Burton? Every day they put makeup on me and I became an orangutan. And I was in heaven every day on that set. And I worked hard to get my diction correct to make sure that they didn't have to dub me later. Because folks like Helena Bonham Carter, they dubbed her. And so that I didn't. I got my diction right in that monkey prosthetic. And I looked at that monkey and I said, I could have played your role better than you.
Hey, Paul.
What's up?
Diction?
Yeah. Also, Paul, do you...
Who is this guy? Who invited him?
Also,
he's hilarious.
Paul, I have just one more question. Yeah. Do you have Dominic Excess's number? I'd like to call him just to vaguely ask him out, even though I'm in a relationship.
Okay. This is wild, and you won't believe me.
Yeah.
He does not have a cell phone. He
what?
Only owns a fax machine.
Oh, can I have his fax number? I'll buy a fax machine.
I can give you his fax number, but you can't say I gave it to you.
Okay, so just I got it on the internet somehow?
His mother gives it out to agents. Just say you got it from his mother.
Oh, so just say I met his mother one time. Okay, got it.
Yeah, yeah, he's a good young lad. He's got a talented future. I feel like he's going to be the next...
I want to get some of his money he's going to get eventually, so... Yeah,
he's gonna be the next Timothée Chalamet, and you know, I think that I had a small part in that growth for him. Honestly, if I could go back in time and put him as the lead in Drew of Rock of Ages, I think that film would have made $100 million. But no one ever asked me what I want.
Paul, can you go get Jess?
Yeah, can you get Jess?
We've got to finish this episode.
Yeah, Paul just like took over this podcast.
You have Oscar-nominated actor Paul Giamatti, and you want that blonde schmuck to come back. All right.
Yeah, I want Billy Eilish's brother back, yes.
All right, I'll get him. Wow, that seemed like a really heated conversation y'all had.
Yeah. At the
Rock he was of a Ages. Nice guy, actually.
Yeah, Paul's a nice dude. Paul, I'm going to get Dominic's fax number so I can ask him out. Yeah.
What a time. My cheese rating...
Wait, what about me?
Yeah, we'll get to you.
Okay.
We'll get to you. You had a whole conversation with Paul Giamatti. Let me get my cheese rating out.
Okay. Yeah, he left the room.
Jess is just jealous that we got to
meet
an Oscar nominee.
Yeah, we got to meet Paul
nominee.
Giamatti.
I am. You guys didn't even ask him to be in one of my films.
Oh, shit.
I mean,
what he?
I did feel like it was in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Y'all
like,
are
I was,
never
I,
looking out for me.
We got his number. We can ask him.
You got Dominic Sessa's fax number. You
no,
didn't
no,
get
we
Paul
also got Paul Giamatti's actual number. You just didn't hear that part.
Oh, okay. If you say so. We got cut out of the podcast.
Yeah.
My cheese rating is Sherry Gray because there's a character named Sherry. Liz, your overall thoughts on cheese rating?
I saw only the movie, and I watched a bunch of alleged criminals sing rock songs, and it made me uncomfortable. Also, the leads are boring. Also, poor Diego Boneta, who plays the guy who has had no career since this movie came out. So, cast him in shit. He's not that bad. Anyway, this movie is fine. It didn't make me mad. It felt like Glee for adults. Or Kids Bop for adults. You know, I texted Jess earlier today, like, this movie feels like Glee for people who are ashamed to like Glee.
Yes.
After I finished it. Anyway, I'm gonna give this one of the cheeses from the rock and roll cheese line that Aldi put out at some point. I'm going to give it pour some Gouda on me. This line also
one.
Features Total Eclipse of the Havarti and Sweet Cheddar of Mine. So, but I'm going to give it Pour Some Gouda on Me. It's the best.
I also want to say, you know who is secretly great in this movie and is really made to look stupid? Malin Ackerman.
Like, oh, yeah. She's great.
She's great. Yeah, she's wonderful in the movie and has a very thankless role as Tom Cruise's love interest,
I guess. Little bitch.
And he sings into her butthole, and you can see the outline of her butthole.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what am I watching?
Also, there is another terrible person in this movie, I just realized.
Who?
TJ Miller.
Oh, God.
He makes a cameo. He is also a terrible person.
Alleged terrorist?
Yes.
TJ Miller?
That guy.
I don't know if that's alleged. I feel like that is charged. Terrorist TJ Miller.
Yeah, I think. But yeah, this movie sucks. Was I mad at it? No. Did it suck? Yes.
God, the blunt rotation gets worse and worse every time.
I know, TJ Miller's now in this blunt rotation. Can we get Paul back?
After we're done recording, he'll come back. He can't have him. He can't. He's talking to all the other rapists in the room.
No, he's with Brian. He's still with Bryan Cranston in the bathroom to avoid the rapists.
I heard you were talking to Paul. It's me, Brian.
Hi, Bryan Cranston.
Oh, hey, Brian.
Yeah, I feel like Rock of Ages was not my best work, you know.
What do you think is your best work,
Bryan Cranston?
Would you believe...
It's Malcolm in the Middle, right?
Yeah, Malcolm
in
the Middle.
No, it was when I played Dalton Trumbo in the film Trumbo.
Really? That's your choice? Yeah. That would be your choice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I was in a bathtub at least 50 hours a day. And I refused to wear the cover guard. I wanted people to see my cock and balls all day. There is the classic scene where my daughter is crying because I missed her birthday. And I shout at her, I am in the tub! And truly, cinema.
You really like stripping your pants down.
Yeah, you like being naked.
I think tighty whities need to make a comeback, and I will not give up. My wife, for the last 6 years, has given me a pair of boxers for Christmas, birthdays, whatever. And I say, to hell with those! And I throw them in the garbage. I do it in front of her.
You prefer the term tidy-whitey to, like, just briefs?
Yeah, briefs.
Yes,
so yeah,
yes, yes,
term?
Yes.
Why be ashamed of what they really are?
But, like, it's like, that's a negative word associated with the underwear you're wearing. Like, don't you want it to not be negative?
What is negative about tight and white?
There's a lot negative there, Brian. I think you should do some reading.
There's a lot going on here.
There's a lot going on here, man. Also, do you have the blunt? Where did it go?
Would you believe I swallowed it on accident?
Great. Now we got to bring Paul back to smoke again.
Someone cooked here, okay?
Someone cooked here.
I think that you're recording me, and I did not consent to this, so I'm going to need these tapes burned, and I am going to be going away to hang out with the other rapists in this room. Oh, wait, I'm back. How's Bryan Cranston?
we were talking to Russell Brand. You wouldn't understand.
Hello, puppets. How are we doing
Russell
today?
Russell Brand, how are you doing? You're a rapist.
Right, we're ending the episode. We're ending the episode right now. The episode's over.
Hi.
All right, here I am, Paul Giamatti. I am going to be stepping in for Jess McConnelly, and I think I should end this before it gets, you know, a little too intense for us all. So this has been our current episode of Musicals with Cheese. What a dumb title. I think that we owe some thanks, though, to the Broadway Podcast Network for allowing us to put on such a wild show, you know. Musical Theater Lives and Juliet Antonio. Yes, the great Juliet Antonio. I'll tell you one thing about Juliet Antonio. There are people who are penis cancer in human form, and that is not Juliet Antonio. All right.
Can you use some ASMR for Juliet, please, Paul?
Oh, God. Oh, I what is ASMR?
Just talk really close to your mic. Yeah, just like
okay.
Be really intense about it.
I am intense in front of my microphone.
You gotta whisper.
You gotta whisper too while being intense.
I'm sorry, projection is what I was taught in Juilliard! I am not drinking any fucking Merlot!
Okay.
I'm sorry, Paul. It's okay.
Sorry,
that's
Paul.
Okay.
Sorry,
we can
Paul.
Move
keep
on.
Going. Do your thing.
We'll see you next time, kids, on this whatever this fucking podcast is called.
All right, let's bring Jess back so we can do the singing.
Did you
part.
Notice they didn't let me sing in this movie? I wrote my own song
no,
for Rock
you, no,
of Ages.
No, Paul, you did sing in this movie. You sang in that
I
one song.
I sang for two lines, and they cut my entire ballad!
I'm the one who wants to be with you. Deep inside I hope you feel it too. Waited on a line of greens and blues just to be the next
to be with you. The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.